10. Former Ole Miss football coach Houston Nutt files a civil lawsuit against the university. He alleges the school has engaged in a long-running smear campaign against him in connection with an ongoing NCAA investigation. Stage 11 of the Tour de France won today by Marcel Kittel, his fifth stage win. Chris Froome still wears the yellow jersey as the overall leader of the tour.
Brought to you by Toyota. Introducing the first-ever Toyota CHR, a stylish crossover with car-like handling. It's the perfect vehicle to flip the script. Toyota, let's go places.
It's all-pro tight end Rob Gronkowski, and nothing fuels my patented Gronk spike like all-natural Alberto beef jerky. Lean beef, slow-cooked, and seasoned to perfection. It's all natural and all delicious. Don't take a chance with some wimpy snack. Go with protein-packed, all-natural Alberto Beef Jerky.
Alberto Beef Jerky. You get out what you put in.
Refers to Alberto's all-natural line of beef jerky. Minimally processed, no artificial ingredients.
Right now at the Home Depot, Ortho Bug Be Gone 32-ounce concentrate, ready to spray, or 10-pound bag is your choice, two for just $10. There's no magic to making bugs disappear, but there is Bug Be Gone. It'll knock out over 100 types of insects for fewer pests in your lawn and more money in your pocket. Start your own disappearing act with Ortho Bug Be Gone. Your choice, two for just $10, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last, U.S. only.
I'm Kyle Montgomery with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Aaron Rodgers is heading into his 13th year in the league and told NFL Network's Alex Flanagan he feels like he's entering the back nine of his career. The Packers won their fifth NFC North title in 6 years, but Rodgers thinks the team needs to get off to a better start. Green Bay needed to win their last 6 games in a row last season to win the division. Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians revealed in his new book that he underwent surgery back in February to remove a cancerous spot on one of his kidneys. Arians' book titled The Quarterback Whisperer came out on Tuesday, and despite the surgery, he managed to still attend the scouting combine later that month. And finally, Colin Kaepernick remains a free agent, and 49ers legend Joe Montana isn't optimistic he'll find a new team, telling the Sporting News that the one thing teams are not looking for is distractions, and says Kaepernick's struggles the past 2 seasons are not helping his case. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Right now, you can save some major green at the Home Depot's Red, White, and Blue Savings Event with up to 40% off appliance special buys, like the Whirlpool Stainless Steel French Door Refrigerator, perfect for storing sheet cakes and platters. Get it now for just $9.98. That's over $700 in savings. Shop our lowest prices of the season, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details. Valid 6/21 through 7/12.
Napa know-how.
The Napa Legend Battery does legendary things, like starting your car when the heat index hits a buck 25, or making sure your AC stays running like a gazelle. And now, when you buy a Napa Legend Battery, you'll get a prepaid Visa card by mail worth $15. $15 back and a new battery? That's not just legendary. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 7/31/17.
.504, welcome back. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym all across eastern Iowa. It is the countdown to kickoff, brought to you by our friends at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. We're going to be there on Friday, by the way, for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Scott Unash stopping in the studio momentarily to discuss what would have been a surefire great segment had we thought of doing it before Big Ten Media Day. But sometimes it's best not to bring things into light on the air. And we'll leave that one in the closet. But I like that. I like the idea there. We'll be in Chicago coming up on the 24th and 25th, Big Ten Media Days right around the corner. And our stop today on the countdown to kickoff is East Lansing. We bring Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News on with us at this point. And Matt, I think the biggest question that a lot of people here in eastern Iowa and Hawkeye fans probably have is, what went wrong last year for Mark D'Antonio and the Spartans?
Well, I think probably most people around the Big Ten and college football have the same question, and there's no simple answer to it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here. And you had a strange convergence of, they lost a lot of NFL type talent the year before. The senior class they had wasn't exactly Mark D'Antonio's best class, and they were relying on a lot of young players, a lot of freshmen playing last year. As we find out later, there's a lot of divisiveness in that locker room for a lot of different reasons. And when you start losing a lot of close games, it starts kind of going the wrong direction. I don't think a lot of people expected them to win a championship last year. However, I can't imagine anyone expecting them to win three games. So none of that has been, made to seem any better by this offseason, which has been kind of a disaster off the field as well. So all I can say at this point is, I know Michigan State now is happy that camp is getting close and they can actually focus on some football. But there's plenty of questions on the field as well as off the field for this program at this point. So there's hardly a lot of answers so far as to where this program is going to go from this point.
This team is just over a year removed from the college football playoff. You mentioned the 3-9 season. You mentioned the offseason mired with two separate sexual assault investigations. Just how dismal has this past 10 to 11 months been for this football program?
Yeah, it's hard to exaggerate or kind of overstate how bad it's really been. I mean, if we were just looking at on the field and say, as you mentioned, go from the playoff to a 3-9 season, and enter a season next year where they've got as many questions as they've probably had, under Mark D'Antonio. I mean, they've got questions at almost every position on this field except maybe running back, a little bit at linebacker, and that's just on the field issues. Then you have, as you mentioned, two sexual assault cases which have led to the dismissals of four players. You've had other guys leave the program. John Reschke, who probably would have been your top tackler, is gone. He left the program. You have some other guys, some younger players who they were counting on. Theo Lacusa was a guy who played as a true freshman on the offensive line last year, just decided to quit playing football. If you take just one of those, a guy leaving here, a guy leaving there, by itself, it's not a big deal. But when you compile on everything that's happened with this program in the last, almost a year, there hasn't been a lot of positive news, I guess, is what we're saying for this program. So at this point, it's like, let's play games just so we can focus on that, because for the last probably 6-7 months, there's been almost no focus on football. So I know they're looking forward to that. Whether that translates into things turning around quickly, we'll have to see.
It seems almost ridiculous to ask, but is Mark D'Antonio on a little bit of a warming seat at this point?
Well, yeah, you would think that is crazy, just what he's done with this program and where it came from to what he's turned it into. But I wouldn't call it I guess I'd go with what you're saying. I'd say it's maybe getting a little bit warm, only because, and the interesting thing is, Mark D'Antonio understands this, is that winning matters. When you lose, it's not great. When you compound it with everything off the field, it makes it worse. But if he can get this program back around winning, at least, a bowl game, show that it's heading back in the right direction, I don't think there's any issue with his job security. However, if this, again, is a team that's struggling to make a bowl game, finishes 500 or lower, he understands it. It's about results. He has created the expectation for this program to compete in this division every year. So if you see another 500 or less season, we're going from a little bit warm to pretty hot, and the pressure is going to be on a guy who didn't seem like he would have any job insecurity at all in the near future. But I think that could happen quickly if the wins don't start coming back.
Let's start on the offensive side of the football, and there were a lot of problems on both sides of the football, but offensively, how much of a factor was poor quarterback play in the struggles last year?
I think it'd be naive to say that wasn't a big part of it, because it was, and they just, Tyler O'Connor was a good team guy, but he just, he wasn't a difference maker under center, and when you are kind of lacking in some other areas, you'd like to be able to rely on a guy back there who can make things happen, and he wasn't that type of guy. Now, later in the year, they went with Brian Lewerke, a redshirt freshman, and that was probably the best the offense looked the couple games he started. And then, of course, he breaks his leg in the loss to Michigan. So they kind of had to finish the year out with what they had. Now, going into this year already, Mark D'Antonio's already named Brian Lewerke a starter. I mean, he's only started twice. He's played four games total. So, you know, it's a position. They're in that position with a lot of guys on the team. They think they've got good guys. They think they have guys that can turn into solid contributors, but they're a little unsure. So that's where they're at now. Not having that quarterback play that they had for three solid years of Connor Cook, I think was definitely a big factor on that offense. It wasn't the only thing, but when you're lacking some other areas, you want that guy you can lean on at quarterback, and they didn't have it last year.
Who's the most important player on the offensive side of the ball for the Spartans this fall, in your opinion?
It's hard to say one, because I say it's the whole offensive line. I mean, I think they're solid at running back. You have L.J. Scott back, Gerald Holmes, Madre London. They're fine there. I think they have some good young playmakers on the outside, although Donnie Corley, who was freshman All-American last year, was one of those guys dismissed in the sexual assault case. So they're a little thin out there in terms of experience, but it all starts up front. And, again, they got a lot of guys they think are going to be very good but are light on experience. Brian Allen, their senior center, is about it in terms of a guy who's really been through it all. They're going to start a redshirt freshman at right tackle, a sophomore who's played about 5-6 games at left tackle. It's the experience up there is not what they want it to be. They're going to play 6, 7, 8 guys even up there. And if they can gel quickly, then I think that offense is going to be okay. So it's hard to put on one guy up there. I'm going to put on that whole unit and say that offensive line needs to come together fast, or that offense could struggle, especially with the inexperienced quarterback.
Do you get the sense that this could be L.J. Scott's last season in East Lansing?
Could be. Yeah, I do. Barring any sort of injury or something bad happening going in the wrong direction, I would, if I had to guess now, I'd say it would be. You're still kind of waiting for him to have that real breakout year, kind of like Le'Veon Bell did his last year before leaving a year early. You see flashes of it all the time. Certainly Iowa fans saw it in that Big Ten championship game. I know they don't like reliving that, but that's the kind of guy Michigan State thinks he can be all the time, a guy they can feature and can run hard and get the tough yards. He's had a few injuries here and there that have kind of slowed him down a little bit. But if he has the year they're kind of expecting, yeah, I'd be surprised if he's still in East Lansing next year.
You talked about some of the young players on the outside at receiver, and one of the names during the spring was Tristan Jackson, who played sparingly. He caught 5 passes in his freshman year. Is he going to be relied on to be a go-to target his sophomore season?
I think he's going to have to be. As you mentioned, he didn't get a lot of time as a freshman. In fact, they didn't decide to take the redshirt off until later in the year. But in the spring game, he was clearly the best player. Now, we know how spring games go. Can that, what does that really mean? What you know about the kid is he's a dynamic playmaker. That's what he was when they recruited him. He's also a guy who might be able to return punts, make things happen that way. But just with the inexperience and the guys they've lost, they're going to have to count on a guy like that. He could be that go-to receiver. Now, they've got a guy like Felton Davis, who's going to be a junior now, who's been hampered by some injuries on and off the last couple of years, who's got a little experience, a bigger type receiver that they're counting on as well. Hunter Risen, a true freshman who's coming in, the son of Andre Risen, they have high hopes for. So they've got a few guys they think can step into that role, but Tristan Jackson is certainly, if spring is any indication, is the kind of guy that can come in there and make a real difference on that offense. So he's definitely a name to watch, a guy that Brian Lewerke has already said they've got a pretty good rapport and with all the work they've done, in the summer and on the scout team and all that. So he's a guy I think could really take a big step this year.
Okay, so what's the forecast like on the defensive side of the ball? Because when I think of Mark D'Antonio, I think of a defense that has some teeth to it.
Right, and that's the interesting thing. If you look back to last year, a lot of their issues, this is a team that through his tenure, and certainly when Pat Narduzzi was there as the coordinator before, they get after the quarterback. And last year they had 11 sacks, which is just an anemic number. And the problem is going into this year, the two guys they expected to start at defensive end have now been dismissed from the team. So they could be starting the season with a couple former walk-ons at end. I think they're strong in the interior. Their linebackers are solid. But here's the thing about that defense you talked about. They go after the quarterback because they've always counted on the back end to be able to cover. And there's a lot of question marks in that secondary. So I think as much as we believe there's going to be some questions on offense, it's even bigger on defense because you could be starting a true freshman at one corner, a guy who was a receiver at the start of the last year at the other corner. Your safeties have been around a little bit, but really haven't, had that kind of breakout year or had that standout sort of performance. So that back end is not what a Michigan State defense is used to. Certainly not the days of Darquez Denard and Trey Waynes and players like that that you can put on an island, let them cover a guy and go after the quarterback. So they got a lot of questions. They weren't very good defensively last year, and now they're going to be counting on a lot of young, inexperienced guys to turn that around this year. I think we know that doesn't always normally add up to the greatest success, but, you know, again, Mark D'Antonio is the defensive guy, so we'll see. I wouldn't expect them to be awful, but they certainly are counting on some young guys to take some big steps.
So you mentioned the anemic pass rush and the players dismissed, but also Malik McDowell has gone to the Seattle Seahawks. Where does this team look to try to generate any kind of pass rush?
That's the biggest question, I think, because again, Malik McDowell's gone, but they were pretty solid in the interior, even behind him. So I think they're good there. It's probably going to have to be from those outside linebackers, Chris Fry, who's a senior now, Andrew Dowell, who's now a junior. Those are pretty talented players. They have some young guys coming in at defensive end, but again, to try and count on a freshman or a redshirt freshman at defensive end at this level is a little bit of a reach. Now, one of the guys who could start is a guy named Kenny Willekes, who was a walk-on, who has earned a scholarship, and he played a little bit late last year and was productive and was very good again in the spring, but again, it's a spring game. So they have some pieces they think can create a bit of a pass rush, but there's no doubt, there's no magic answer here. They need some of these guys to kind of step up and be that next guy because they didn't have him last year, and the guys they thought would be this year are now gone. So it sounds like a broken record, but in most positions, you're counting on guys that haven't proven it yet. They're getting their chance to now, and if enough of them do, they're going to be in good shape. However, it's a kind of a crapshoot until we see them on the field.
The biggest game on the schedule for the Spartans is fill in the blank.
You name it for a team desperately trying to get off a 3-9.
Fair enough.
It's hard to say there's one bigger than the other. Certainly you have Michigan and Ohio State, and those are on the road. Penn State comes, to East Lansing. Notre Dame early in the non-conference season. Even Western Michigan won't be as good as last year. They're not going to be a, New Year's Bowl type team, but still a solid team. So I can't look at that schedule and see too many times you think it's a given win for this team. And that's difficult when you're trying to bounce back from 3-9. So I hate to dodge the question, but I don't see any one game that isn't huge for this team going into 17.
Last question, Matt, and then we'll let you go. You've been terrific with us today on the Countdown to Kickoff, brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. But how do you handicap the East Division this year? Who do you think looks like they're going to be able to take it?
I mean, I still really like Penn State. I think it's pretty. You're kind of splitting hairs, I think, when you're looking at Penn State and Ohio State right now. I think Michigan's going to be right there. But, they got some holes to fill, too, especially on that defense that was very good last year. They got a lot of players to replace. I know Jim Harbaugh's done a great job recruiting and has brought in a lot of talent, but he'll need some guys to kind of get going quickly. But I think it comes down to Penn State and Ohio State. And right now I like Penn State with the guys they got coming back. That's no guarantee. Ohio State certainly is stacked with talent every year. So I'd put it a toss-up between those two, and I kind of lean towards Penn State just a tad.
All right, Matt, we appreciate the inside look at the Michigan State Spartans. Appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Thanks
Matt,
for having me.
Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News. He's on Twitter at Matt Charbonneau, all one word. We're on Twitter,
well,
too, at Todd Brommelkamp and at Alex Kuhn, 523. It's actually 519 right now. Alex's Twitter handle is 523. I don't want to confuse anybody, but that's the latest stop on the Countdown to Kickoff. Tomorrow I am on vacation for 24 hours celebrating the first birthday for my son Thomas. So Kyle's going to slide into the studio, and Alex and Kyle will have a double dip of stops. First in Evanston, Illinois. We'll make up for last Friday's rescheduled segment with Will Raggetts and taking a look at the Northwestern Wildcats. And then Mike Carman from the newspaper, the Lafayette Journal-Courier, we'll stop by to talk about the Purdue Boilermakers. So Purdue and Northwestern coming up tomorrow, a double dip edition of the Countdown to Kickoff. Again, thank you to Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City for helping take us on the road to Chicago this year, the third year in a row that we'll be doing the show from the, I don't want to call it Radio Row, it's like Radio Room.
it changes every year, too. It was Radio Row. Last year it was Radio Room. We haven't seen the layout this year yet.
Yeah. They want to make us as far away from the players and coaches as possible. But you never, it's like a mouse trap. Once you get, I'm talking about the live traps, not the ones that snap your neck and kill you instantly. But once you get into the room, you're kind of stuck. And this is, you know what? Kyle's kind of like Luke Voigt, your buddy from high school, who's going to be joining us in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour, because Kyle got his call up.
He did.
But this is going to be his test.
This is
because you've been through this before.
I have. It's a lot of fun.
It's
a lot of
fun, but it is a lot of work. And if the work doesn't get put in, then the show, or shows plural, because we're going to be there for both days, suffer for it. And you're filling 4 hours, and you got a lot of guests who are up in the air, and I'll be there at this time, but they actually show up at this time. And all I'm saying is, I'm going to put Kyle to the test
in
Chicago.
Buckle your chin strap, Kyle.
And I'm going to miss Kevin Wilson sitting at the hotel bar at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night.
Drinking an
old
fashioned.
The day before Big Ten Media Day. Those days are long gone. I used to see, well, Joe Paterno, not at the bar, but Joe Paterno would usually hang around in the hotel lobby a little bit. You'd see him wandering around.
One of my favorite stories that you've told from Big Ten Media Day involves Joe Paterno,
the autograph guy.
Yes,
yeah,
the autograph story.
Yeah, there's every year at Big Ten Media Day, and there's a bunch of people that have nothing better to do with their lives than to get items autographed. And I want to be very clear about this, because someone out there is sitting there saying, this guy's a hypocrite because he collects autographed memorabilia and everything. I collect it for my personal collection. I'm not out there trying to flip it and turn it around for a buck. Those are the people in the ratty t-shirts and jorts and with the garbage bag. I think I told
a backpack full of stuff.
Exactly. When we were at the Orange Bowl in 2002 and O.J. Simpson showed up at USC's practice, there were not one but two guys with a hefty sack of miniature Buffalo Bills helmets. A hefty sack of mini helmets. And O.J. Simpson's talking to the media for 10, 12 minutes, and the entire time that he's answering questions, he's just taking helmet after helmet, and he's signing them. I mean, it was muscle memory at that point. He could do it without even looking. But Joe Paterno, there's a guy, it was two, three guys in the lobby, and they had a fistful, which is five or six if you can get your fat, greasy fingers through the face masks on those little Riddell miniature helmets. I think you guys probably know what I'm talking about. And they're trying to get Paterno to stop and sign autographs for them. And this is long before Sandusky and all of this stuff. And Paterno just shot them down. Just, nah.
And like waved his hand.
Yeah, he did a little bit of a Chris Berman impersonation. Just, nah. No. And walked about it. You used to see Glenn Mason. The funny thing is here, it's usually the coaches from the teams that aren't very good. Not that there's any correlation there, but you used to see Glenn Mason hanging around with some of the writers in the hotel bar. Kevin Wilson comes to mind. Ron Turner was always great. He didn't know you from Adam, but he'd chat you up, and fun times. Those, now that cell phones and cameras are on everybody's phones and in your pocket, it's a little bit different time, because back then, back in the good old days, you could cut loose and you could tell some stories, and all you had to worry about was maybe somebody two tables away being within earshot of it. Now, any coach is at a hotel bar or something, people are taking pictures and video, and it's just, yeah, it's kind of ruined that aspect of things. 5:25, we'll step aside, take a quick break. Kyle's going to have another big board update for you. And then rescheduled from 4:30 today to 5:30, St. Louis Cardinals rookie Luke Voigt joining the program shortly. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. Back with more after this.
I'm concerned about our computers. I keep hearing stories about viruses holding files hostage.
My brother's office hasn't had any issues. They work with IT solutions. You can find them at ineedmycomputerstowork.com.
IT solutions?
Yeah, they have affordable, custom, managed monthly care for businesses like ours.
How does it work?
Think of it like taking care of your teeth. You wouldn't wait until something goes wrong and then try and find a random dentist, right?
No.
Exactly. Their multi-level protection includes virus protection on workstations and servers, virus filters at your internet connection, keeping security patches up to date, and installing custom protection developed by IT solutions that no one else has. They also back up your data locally, so recovery is fast and easy.
Wow, all that for a low, affordable monthly fee and a plan that's customized just for us?
Yes, that's what IT solutions has been doing for over 30 years. Go to ineedmycomputerstowork.com for more info.
Well, I've got a few minutes before our meeting. I'll go to ineedmycomputerstowork.com right now.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate and ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Linda Hass. Is your company's current payroll provider striking out?
Die!
It's time to bring in relief. Switch to Future Systems, Inc., the most trusted payroll company in the corridor. From one employee to thousands of employees, Future Systems has the experience and expertise to save you time and money. Call in the big leaguers at Future Systems today at 800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
Good stuff with Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News today on the countdown to kickoff. I think probably the team that was the biggest enigma in the Big Ten last year, Michigan State, and there are no answers for it. And then compounding things, all the trouble that program faced this offseason, and all of a sudden you've got Mark D'Antonio, who goes from being one of the most successful coaches in the league to a guy who may be legitimately concerned about his job future moving forward. And would they bring Pat Narduzzi back from Pitt?
That's a great question.
Couple years.
He's done a pretty good job at Pittsburgh.
I don't know. 319-366-1600. Kyle is with us in the studio. That can mean only one thing. Time now for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
As the college football season approaches, the preseason awards and recognition continue to roll in. Iowa State receiver Alan Lazard and safety Kamari Cotton-Moya were named to the preseason All-Big 12 team. Cotton-Moya was 12th in the nation last year with 58 solo tackles, while Lazard earned first-team All-Conference honors after becoming just the fourth Cyclone to surpass 1,000 yards receiving in a season. The Cyclones' Colin Downing was also named to the Ray Guy Award watch list, which goes to the nation's top punter. This is the third consecutive year that Downing has been on that list. Cedar Rapids Prairie outfielder Levi Usher was selected to participate in the 2017 Perfect Game All-American Game. That's going to be on August 13th in Petco Park in San Diego. Cedar Rapids, Jefferson, and Kennedy's domination of the softball circuit this year is beginning to bring in awards for those respective schools, as Jefferson's senior shortstop Avery Guy and head coach Brian Irby were named MVC Player and Coach of the Year, respectively, in the Mississippi Division. Kennedy's senior shortstop Ashley Hamilton and head coach Madison LeClaire claimed the same awards in the Valley Division. Both schools had 6 first-team selections in their division and also advanced to the state tournament this week. The Colonels are back in action tonight after a day off, and Dominic Carlini will look to give the Colonels a strong start opposite Udis Adrogo for the West Michigan Whitecaps. That game will start at 6, and we'll keep you updated as that moves along.
Thank you very much, Kyle. We have Luke Voigt of the St. Louis Cardinals sent to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. MLB's second half gets underway on Friday. We'll find out what Luke's doing to get ready for it next.
Hi, I'm Linda Hass. Is your company's current payroll provider striking out?
Die!
It's time to bring in relief. Switch to Future Systems, Inc., the most trusted payroll company in the corridor. From one employee to thousands of employees, Future Systems has the experience and expertise to save you time and money. Call in the big leaguers at Future Systems today at 800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
Supply. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Carmelo Anthony has 2 years and $54 million left on his contract with the Knicks, but will he stay in New York? ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports the Knicks are talking with the Rockets about putting together a multi-team trade for Anthony. The Jazz will sign free agent Thabo Sefolosha to a two-year deal. The NBA next season will cut four timeouts from each game. That'll leave the maximum number of timeouts at 14, and the trade deadline will be 2 weeks earlier. It'll be 10 days before the All-Star break. Today at Wimbledon, the top seed, Andy Murray, is knocked out in the quarters by American Sam Querrey. The two seed is also out. Novak Djokovic had to stop his match against Tomas Berdych in the second set with a nagging right elbow injury, which he says might need surgery. Roger Federer and Marin Cilic both advanced today. Wimbledon coverage continues tomorrow on ESPN. The women's and men's finals are at 9 a.m. Eastern Saturday and Sunday. West Virginia linebacker David Long will likely miss at least the first four games of the season with a knee injury.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
The Ford Summer Sales Event is in full swing. It's your chance to get a Ford F-150 for 0% financing for 60 months, plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. It's summer's hottest deal on the award-winning built Ford Top F-150. Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand. And save big on the Ford F-150. Get 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Hurry into the summer sales event, going on now only at your Ford dealer. Best selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 60 months at $1,667 per month per $1,000 financed regardless of down payment. Trade assist cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle, or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. Not available on Raptor. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by July 31st, 2017.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Batteries, this is Christina.
Hi, Christina. I need to change my oil.
Okay. Currently, we have 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic for $29.99.
Great.
That includes the filter and $5 off your next purchase of $30 or more if you're a Speed Perks member.
Whoa. Even better. Thanks.
Now at Advance Auto, get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic or high-mileage motor oil and a Purolator Boss filter for just $29.99. See store for details. Also at participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores.
Imagine this sound in your office. Loud, isn't it? That's what a day in the office is like for thousands of U.S. sailors. While it may be loud to us, it's what protection and deterrence sound like. It's the sound of the world's strongest naval force, extending sea power, up to 50,000 feet to be exact. America's Navy. Learn more at Navy.com.
.534, we've reached the halfway point of a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across Eastern Iowa on 1600 AM. 6 o'clock showdown on the horizon, a chance for you to get out and see the Cedar Rapids Colonels next Friday as they take on the Great Lakes Loons. It'll be a Z102.9 Mug Club night. That's a 16-ounce mug that you pay $6 for the first time, and then refills are $3. Or if you kept your mug from a previous Friday night game, bring it back, and you just pay $3 for the refill. So that's what we'll be playing for tonight on the 6 o'clock showdown. Plenty more to come as well as we make our way through what some people say is the worst day in sports.
Including myself.
And I'm kind of in the same boat as well. That's the poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. Is today actually the worst day in sports? There is not much going on.
Yes, it is.
And yeah, I got to believe that too. I'm looking forward to baseball returning on Friday, and I have a feeling our next guest is as well. Luke Voigt joining us here on the program, first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals and former high school classmate of yours. Alex, thank you very much for helping to set this up. And Luke, we appreciate you taking the time to join us on the program. How's your All-Star break going?
It's been great, man. Went out to my lake house for a couple of days with a girlfriend and some friends, so it's been very relaxing, and I'm glad I got into Chili's the last couple of days.
Now, you were an All-Star last year in the Texas League and the year before that in the Florida State League. Is it nice to, especially with as big of a whirlwind season as it's been for you, to get a couple days off in the middle season?
Yeah, it's the first time, like, even in high school, with all the summer ball I did, and then I played summer ball in college. I played in the Cape Cod, and I played in the Mink League. So this is honestly, and I was even telling my buddy, this is the first time I've had a break since I was, like, 14.
So
that's the first time I've been at my summer lake house since I was 14. It's crazy.
So a lot of people don't know your story. 22nd round draft pick by the St. Louis Cardinals in 2013 out of Missouri State. You had a shoulder injury your junior year that presumably kept you from getting drafted. You had some obstacles along the way, 4.5 seasons in the minor leagues. I know that your goal was constantly to get to the major leagues, but was there a point during this journey where the major leagues seemed the furthest away?
It definitely seems farther away, especially when you're at the lower levels and, you know, you feel like you're having such great success, but there's always guys in front of you that are getting moved up, or like guys, you know, you're playing with that are getting moved up, and, you know, you're doing the same thing, but, and, you know, the higher levels you go up, there's better players and the competition's a lot better. And it's a frustrating game because, like, especially playing first base, there's only one person in front of me. So, you know, I'd have to wait on injury, or maybe he got, you know, released or something like that, because they're always, you know, he's in double A or triple A, so they're, you know, expected to put up good numbers, and they're going to put up good numbers. And you see your buddies getting called up, and then you're staying at a Red Roof Inn in, you know, the middle of Florida. It's not the best. You're not getting paid well. I mean, it gets frustrating after a while, but you got to stick with it. You know, the reason you're playing is for the love of the game, and, you know, you play your whole life, and now I'm getting paid to do it. And, you know, you just got to keep working hard and, you know, have that in the back of your mind that your goal is to get to the leagues and obviously stay, so.
Luke Voigt joining us, the St. Louis Cardinals here. Take me back to late June. You're in AAA with Memphis, and how did you get the news that you were going up to the Cards?
So the previous night before I got called up, my manager called me in the office. I'm like, oh, man, like, this should be it. And then he's like, I walk in there, and he's like, yeah, so what are we doing with base fans tonight? That was kind of messed up. He's like, you kind of ruined that big run opportunity for us. So I was like, ah, damn, you know. Oh, well, he just wanted to talk to me for a second. And then the next night, he calls me in again. I'm like, maybe this is it, but then maybe not, because he called me in last night and wanted to talk about the game. Calls me in, and actually Randall Grichuk and Michael Myers are both in there too. So I'm like, dang, you know, maybe we're going to talk about something, like, obviously not getting called up. And he brings up, like, he wants this whole team leadership to go on, like, he wants us to take control, and, you know, he wants to have some housekeeping rules going on. And then he goes, nah, I'm just kidding with you, you guys are all going to the big leagues.
Well,
so it was kind of like, you know, I didn't think anything of it, and then all of a sudden, boom, I'm going up to the show. So it's a moment I'll remember forever.
Let's go back to June 25th, your first at-bat. From the standing ovation to the fans chanting your name to getting drilled in the back by a 96-mile-an-hour fastball, describe that moment.
I can't, man. Felt like I was on cloud nine. Like I've told you before, like that hit by pitch felt like it was, you know, a fly hit in my back. To make it, you know, I worked my butt off my whole life to get to the dailies, and I finally made it, and you know, whether I got hit by a pitch, would have grounded out, whatever, I just, you know, that moment that I kind of get to cherish of, you know, I did it, and the fact that I got on base, you know, to try to help the team win, which is awesome, and especially the ovation I got before going up to my bat, just knowing that everyone knew I was a hometown kid and, you know, living the dream. So it's the best feeling in the world. I wish every kid could live it.
Now, the one thing that's been amazing to me is you get called up to the big leagues and you're enjoying playing for the hometown team. You're taking it all in, but you're also, every single at-bat, trying to prove that you belong and trying to earn that next at-bat. How have you been able to balance that?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of support from my family and friends and stuff. And, you know, whether I'm pitch hitting or playing first, I mean, every at-bat same. My goal up there is obviously win every at bat, you know, whether it's, you know, moving the guy over, sack fly, you know, hitting a home run, you know, whatever, just kind of doing my job. And as long as I do my job, I feel like I'll get a lot of opportunities. And, you know, the biggest name in the game is consistency. So if you're consistent, I mean, you have good at bats every day, whether you're 0-4, 4-4, you know, you're driving in runs and stuff, they're going to find a spot to play in. You know, I'm glad with the opportunities they've given me, and I think I'm 3-for-3 pitch hitting. So, I mean, whether it's that, you know, whether it's my bats in the seventh inning or I'm getting 4 at bats a game, I just, you know, I'm ready for each opportunity, and, you know, I'll do the best I can.
You never know when it's going to end, when your time in the majors is going to come to an end. It could be years from now. It could be days from now. But what's it like to show up to work every day and to be able to put the uniform of your favorite team on your back? That has to be something.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I've driven past Busch Stadium probably, you know, 100, 300, 400 times. And to drive by it now and to get off of that last exit, Missouri exit, and to see it and then, like, just know that, you know, I'm pulling through the security gate and I'm pulling up to Busch Stadium, which is, you know, the most of my childhood memories of, you know, growing up, going to those games. It's pretty surreal. You know, I still feel like I get chills every time I drive past it. You know, even when I walk out of the dugout steps, it's an incredible feeling. And I mean, it honestly puts me at a loss for words of how cool it is. These last 2 weeks have been incredible.
Now, watching the Home Run Derby the other night, I couldn't help but notice while watching Miguel Sano and Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton hit the baseball, we're in an era where the launch angle and that kind of swing for big power hitters is emphasized. You kind of went through a similar transition in the minor leagues. When did that take place, and how did that help you kind of launch your career?
It helped me tremendously because last year, you know, my coaches were on me about, you know, I was hitting too many ground balls, and I'm a bigger guy, so I'm not going to be beating out those balls. So, you know, I needed to work on my, I guess, fly ball capability. And, you know, I was with my hitting coach, and I dropped my hands a little bit. And it was one of those things, like, it's an unnatural, and everyone always thinks that, like, I wasn't going to get to the big leagues because I had an unorthodox swing, and it helped me swing more up, and so I was getting more trajectory, I was hitting more doubles and more fly balls. Like, I'm at the point where even if I hit a fly ball and now it's like a good at bat because that's what I'm trying to do. And you even talk to a guy like Chris Bryant, he's kind of has the same attitude. Like, his goal every game is to hit 4 fly balls. But I worked this off season with Hitrex. It's a new, like, it's pretty much playing a video game with but hitting it in the cage. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but it tells you your launch angle, your exit velocity, you know, kind of what you need to do to hit the ball to the fence or, you know, hit the ball in the air more consistently. So I worked on that all offseason, and it helped what I had done in the second half of last year. And I've had great results, and it's been great, and I'm super happy my coach in AA helped me last year.
Now, you've become a fan favorite very quickly in St. Louis. You're the hometown kid. You walk to the plate listening to Nelly and Country Grammar. Do you get recognized around town a lot more than you did? Do you get recognized around town a lot right now?
A little bit. Like, I just went to dinner with my girlfriend, and I got recognized a little bit. But maybe here and there, I guess. Like, I was at the gas station the other day, I got recognized. But, I mean, I haven't got the David Freese effect yet, but I feel like it's going to be coming here soon, so I'm looking forward to it.
Now, during your first start, your grandmother became famous across Fox Sports Midwest when she said that she pays you $25 per home run. Better question is, does she get recognized around town?
Yes, she does, especially with all her friends now. Yeah, she said she's been to the grocery store like 4 or 5 times, and every time she goes, she gets hazed. But my grandma is eating up every moment of it, and she is the happiest grandma in the world, especially that she gets to watch it every night now. So I honestly say my grandma's probably a bigger celebrity than me, which is kind of funny.
St. Louis Cardinals first baseman Luke Voit joining the program, also happens to have went to the same high school as Alex. You mentioned Chris Bryant moments ago. Has there been a moment where you've been in the big leagues where you've maybe been a little bit of starstruck by somebody that you've been playing against, or you find yourself on base and you maybe look at somebody and can't believe that you're standing there with them?
There's three. Joey Votto, and he's like, hey, man, I'm super happy for you. Congratulations, you know. I hope you much success, and I hope I see you, you know, all down the road, especially being a division rival and stuff. So that was kind of cool. Paul Goldschmidt was cool, especially because he's kind of on my level of a guy that had to work his way up and, you know, became one of the best, you know, first bases in baseball. And then the coolest one was, I guess the last two coolest, Giancarlo Stanton was, and I mean, if people haven't seen him in real life, the dude is, he could play in the NBA. He looks like Blake Griffin. I mean, the dude is a massive person. You know, I'm kind of a bigger guy, and he makes me look small. But the coolest person probably was Ichiro. I mean, the guy's had, you know, over 4,000 hits in his career. You know, I grew up playing him in video games. You know, he's been playing professional baseball since I was a toddler. But that was kind of the starstruck moment of a guy that, you know, done it for, like, big leagues for like 15 years, and he played in Japan for like another 8 years. So that was pretty cool.
When I was in Memphis in April, you, Tommy Pham, Paul DeJong were all playing in the starting lineup for the Redbirds. What is it like to see all three of you now contributing in the big leagues?
Oh, they're all studs, and they're all really good players, and I'm glad that they've all gotten the opportunity. It just shows how good the Cardinals are at drafting players and, you know, giving players chances and, you know, providing them help in the big leagues. And it's just, you know, those guys work, you know, work their butts off. And, I mean, even right now we have, I think Memphis has the best record in minor league baseball. And, I mean, there's, you know, a bunch of other guys that deserve an opportunity to be up here too. But, you know, there's better guys in front of them. And, you know, their time will come. It's just the whole time of winning, you know, gets their chance to come up to the big leagues and, you know, help the team win.
Luke, we appreciate the time. On the 23rd, July 23rd, Alex and I are going to be at Wrigley Field for your game against the Cubs. Hopefully you're still in the lineup and still in the big leagues at that point. I'm trying to get him a Luke Voit jersey that he can wear to the game, but it's not getting not getting
better,
approved.
Alex, you gotta wrap the
not getting approved.
I promise, if that gets bought,
yeah, it's not getting approved on the expense.
We don't make much here on the radio, Luke. We don't. Our budget's a little bit lower.
I'm sure I saw Cubs jerseys up there too. Huh?
Yeah, well, actually, now that it's funny you say that, we have a call screener, and I don't like to go behind the scenes, but our producer Kyle Mann put your name as Chris Bryant on the call screener. And I'm not joking. This is what I go through.
I didn't
Luke.
Even notice that. Hey, Luke, before we let you go, do you have any good stories about Alex in high school?
Oh, boy.
Good stories about Alex.
I'll take that as a yes. How about that? We'll let you off the hook.
Yeah, how about another time? I don't know if I should blow him out right now.
Thank you.
Luke, I'm as big of a Cub fan as you're going to find, literally and figuratively, but I'll tell you what, the 23rd when we're there at Wrigley Field, I'll be cheering for you. How about that?
Well, I appreciate it, man.
All right, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us, Luke, and good luck to you.
Of course, guys. Yeah, good luck to you guys, too.
Luke Voit of the St. Louis Cardinals, we need it more than Luke does some days, especially today, the worst day in sports. But that was great. Oh, he was originally going to join us tomorrow, and then for his schedule, we reaccommodated him. What's the story on Grandma? Was she getting a lot of TV time during the debut?
Grandma was on a... She was being interviewed by Jim Hayes of Fox Sports Midwest.
Yeah, I know Jim Hayes, yeah.
And she was asked by Jim Hayes about their little agreement that they had. And the agreement is 25 bucks a home
okay.
run.
Okay. He's got three of them, so she's up to 75.
Now, she lives in an assisted living situation in St. Louis, and this was one of the more hilarious things I had heard on a broadcast. When he had made his debut, she said that the entire assisted living home gave her an ovation. And Jim Hayes said, a standing ovation? And she replied with, no, most of them can't stand. So she has become quite famous in St. Louis.
That's funny. That's good. I'm serious, though. We're going to be pretty close to him in these seats.
We got these good seats.
So maybe that State College Spikes card is going to get signed at some point in time. But he seems like a really down-to-earth guy, except for when he was talking about hanging out at his lake house. I was like, okay, yeah, I see how this goes.
Well, that's Wildwood. That's
I was just going to say, Cal Eldred.
That's Wildwood.
Cal Eldred blew the cover off that when you first joined the station a couple years ago and he found out that you were from Wildwood. But so about 500 kids or so in your high school class.
Give or take.
How well did you know him?
I grew up with him since.
Okay, and like in the same neighborhood, or
we went to school together since kindergarten.
Oh, since kindergarten. Okay, wow, yeah. That is cool. Okay, so we asked earlier today on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, who is the most famous person that you went to high school with? 319-366-1600. I probably have nobody from Central DeWitt. Marcus Schnorr, Hawkeye fans would know Marcus Schnorr. He was a little bit younger than me. And Casey Kreider, who played for the Hawkeyes, was way younger than me, but his dad was my biology teacher. So I guess I can claim a couple Hawkeyes. Kurt Spurgeon, who played basketball for the Hawkeyes, too, he was from DeWitt. But we've seen some interesting answers. Keep them coming. 366-1600. You mentioned the David Freese, same high school.
And Ryan Howard.
And Ryan Howard. That is Ryan Howard, who also went to Missouri State, right?
Correct.
Just as Luke Voigt did. Really interesting. We could have talked to him for probably another 45 minutes or an hour. He came up as a catcher.
Yes.
When he first came into pro ball, and then they moved him out from behind the plate, and now here he is. And it's always fun to see guys play for their hometown team because they get sort of folk hero status. And I think he's gotten more standing ovations and curtain calls in St. Louis than half the Cardinals probably have at this point. But he's hitting the ball very well right now, to the point where when you get up, you've got to make it tough for the manager to take you out of the lineup or to send you back to Memphis in the Cardinals' case. And that's exactly what he's doing. This team was struggling, and he's provided them a little bit of a spark offensively. Can he keep it going? We'll see. The second half begins on Friday.
The one question I didn't get to ask him was his brother. A lot of people don't know this, but his younger brother plays football at Army, and that team, the team he was on last year, beat Navy for the first time in 14 years. And he just got named team captain. And in the same year, Luke wins the home run derby in the Texas League. And then a year later, he gets called up to the major leagues. So for those two, for the Voigt brothers, it's been a pretty crazy year. Lots of success.
No Luke Voigt questions, by the way, tonight on the 6 o'clock showdown. I've already previewed. So if you were looking and thinking that you were going to get a little bit of a cheat session from listening to that segment, you're not going to. We've got tickets to see the Colonels next Friday on a Z102.9 Mug Club. We'll play for those coming up in about 10 minutes. Kyle's going to join us for another Big Board update. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Dupaco is a local financial cooperative that gives back to its members, like me. Just for keeping and growing my savings and services with them, my share was $200. They call it thank yous. Extra money I use to spoil the grandkids. And it makes me feel like $1 million.
At a financial cooperative, members are owners. It's member participation that powers Dupaco Community Credit Union. Thank yous is money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and spending. Last year, Dupaco members shared in more than $2.85 million in thank yous. How will you use yours?
Get a gym membership.
Go to the movies.
Donate it to charity.
Pay down my student loan.
Add to my retirement savings.
Buy that purse I just saw.
Learn more at dupaco.com/thank yous. Participate, cooperate, accumulate. The more you use Dupaco, the more you're thanked. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
554, welcome back in as hour number two creeps to a close here on 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM, and 1600 AM. Before we get to our Kyle, let's get to Kyle on the phone lines here. We know him better as Kyle on the text line. Kyle, what's up?
How's it going?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was just calling in because I went to high school with Scott Shevler from Prairie.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, local tie, Solon, right? Or no, Prairie. That's right. Well, Scott was from Solon, but Cedar Rapids,
yeah.
Prairie. What was he like in high school? Were you good friends with him?
I wasn't very good friends with him. He was a couple years older than I was, but he was just a mad athlete, played five different sports, and was amazing in all of them.
I appreciate that. Thank you for the phone call, Kyle. That counts as
somebody. That definitely
somebody.
Counts.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Friend of the show.
Nobody had mentioned him yet. I kind of forgot about that, but we appreciate hearing from you, Kyle. We go from Kyle to Kyle. Time now for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
As the college football season approaches, the preseason awards and recognition continue to roll in. Iowa State receiver Alan Lazard and safety Kamari Cotton-Moya were named to the preseason All-Big 12 team. Cotton-Moya was 12th in the nation last year with 58 solo tackles, while Lazard earned first-team All-Conference honors after becoming just the fourth Cyclone to surpass 1,000 yards receiving in a season. The Cyclones' Colin Downing was also named to the Ray Guy Award watch list, which goes to the nation's top punter. This is the third consecutive year that Downing has been named on that list. Cedar Rapids Prairie outfielder Levi Usher was selected to participate in the 2017 Perfect Game USA All-American Game. That game is going to be on August 13th in Petco Park in San Diego. Cedar Rapids Jefferson and Kennedy's domination of the softball circuit this year is beginning to bring in awards for those respective schools, as Jefferson's senior shortstop Avery Guy and head coach Brian Irby were named MVC Player and Coach of the Year, respectively, in the Mississippi Division. Kennedy's senior shortstop Ashley Hamilton and head coach Madison LeClaire claimed the same awards in the Valley Division. Both schools had six first-team selections and also advanced to the state tournament this week. The Colonels are back in action tonight after a day off, and Dominic Carlini will look to give the Colonels a strong start opposite Udis Adrogo for the West Michigan Whitecaps. That game's going to get started in just a few minutes, and we'll keep you updated as it moves along.
Yep, 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock in the Eastern Time Zone. Colonels will be back next week, opening up a six-game homestand. They play Great Lakes and Lansing. Bad news for baseball fans that were hoping to see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette, the son of Dante Bichette. They both got promoted by the Toronto Blue Jays, so they're not going to be here in Cedar Rapids when the Lugnuts come to town.
I am so glad that Luke didn't tell an embarrassing story about me from high school. Because there are a bunch of them.
Are there a number of them?
There are several of them. I was not exactly the most socially ept person in high school.
We've got July 23rd. Maybe we can get one of him while we're in the stands. I don't know. 6 o'clock showdown on the way after this. It is the worst sports day in America. Thank you for making us a part of it.
Hard to imagine anything can keep cool on a scorcher like today. Heat causes battery fluid to evaporate, which could cause damage to your battery's internal structure. That's why Duralast batteries are designed to beat the heat. Tested to start your car at up to 167 degrees Fahrenheit. Duralast. Proven tough.